Amen. Brother Ray said something really smart there. I can't believe I'm about to say this. But you got to take it home. You got to take it home with you. And that's where the importance. I appreciate that. Brother Ray's prayer life is maturing. Of course, having Rachel for a wife. I just had to say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to change gears. We've been in Habakkuk and Zephaniah to see the wrath of God. The wrath of God is real. The wrath of God is real. The coming wrath is real. That's why we need to have a witness like we ought to have, is to read the Old Testament and to see what God's done there. The same God of that rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plains. The other judgments that come along, the judgments there against Israel in the book of Judges. And then, of course, in David's and Saul's day with the Philistines. And much of the Old Testament that we see, and it is when we get away from God that we see His judgment. You know, He does that out of compassion. And when you don't obey His law, you don't obey Him, you don't make Him number one. And that's what you have to do, friend. He has to be the most important. That's why the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God. All your heart and all your mind, all your soul is to love Him and love Him. And then when you start loving Him, you'll find out you start loving everybody. You love people that wear Michigan Wolverine stuff. You love people that are Spartan fans. You love people, right? Right? And of course, you always love the people from Paradise, Indiana. Yes, Mom. My mom raised us just 12 miles. Mom and Dad raised us 12 miles west of Terre Haute, Indiana, a little town called Paris, Illinois. And you get into the country of Michigan, you get into the country of Indiana and Illinois, and it's just amazing. It's amazing the people and how kind and generous they are. We praise the Lord for America, still the greatest land in the history of mankind. History of mankind. Can you imagine that? And I think right now we have the greatest leader that the United States has ever seen. Now, many would probably, there are a lot of those that would disagree with me, and those that would disagree are just American haters, fraudsters. And they need to be in jail, but I haven't seen any of them put in jail yet, because we live in that day and age where good is evil and evil is good. They have such a hatred for God Almighty Himself that they'll hate everything that has to do with Him. Now, I realize there's a lot of believers across America that have some crazy, wild, whacked out ideas. But there are a lot of great churches without the name Baptist in them. A lot of great Bible churches, community churches. There's a lot of other churches. You know, there are a lot of good Catholics. Now, many would say, well, David, you're ecumenical. No. If God calls a man son, you better love him like a brother. And there are a lot of those in different churches, and I know what they believe. And I'm just, you know, the other day I was praying, Lord, you're in charge of salvation. I pray that there are many more saved than what I think. And the Lord reminded me that my brain is small and I don't think that much. So He's in charge. He's in control whether you like it. He's a sovereign God. And I'm thankful for that. 1 Corinthians 12, as we change gears, I want us to go into the gifts. But to get there, we have to have a few introductory thoughts come in our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning gifts. Now, if you notice, in that word gift is in italics. But the word fits perfectly there. It's perfect there. Because these are things that come from God. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, remember this idea of ignorance. Ignorance is usually willful. Usually willful. But there is also the unknown. And many times we will be ignorant of something because, oh, I just didn't know that. Okay, understood. And you put that in your brain for the next time you have to come to that. But Paul is mentioning this ignorance because they have so much being told to them. We mentioned in Luke 16 the world system. The idea of having 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 masters. Things like that will change how you think and how you act. there are many problems across America because we're not thinking like God thinks. We don't get into the Word and allow it to affect our heart, so now we make better decisions, wiser decisions. Take the Word of God home and live it. That's tough to do. It is. It's hard to do because you go home with the flesh and the world, and you're battered by the flesh and world, and you're under preaching 2 and 3 hours a week, hopefully. And I got to thinking about this because this is so true. If you have the new cell phone, if you have the internet and all this business, do you spend as much time in the Word of God as you do holding this devil? Well, I have my Bible on it, and I do too. I have my Bible on it so I can listen to it while I'm mowing or doing whatever with my headphones out on the course, or if I'm around the church house, I'll have it playing in the background. But I wonder, do we study the Bible as much as we look at our phone? There's some funny videos, and there's some also very disturbing videos. There's a Officer Frank that I'll follow on YouTube, and I've been watching some of his, and how people are doing 100 mile an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone, and he pulls them over, and that's criminal. You realize that? That's criminal. He's out in Arizona. He's a sheriff's deputy for the famous sheriff, Sheriff Lamb, who's a great man, godly man at that. And I'm thankful, but it's just amazing how people respond to knowing they're guilty. I didn't do that. No, I didn't. I clocked you. He says, in one, he was 35 mile an hour speed zone, and he clocked them at 82. If it's 35, that means there's a lot of humans around. But that's the way society is. One particular he pulled over, the guy was on the phone, had it up here on his shoulder, just like that. And the officer comes over, he rolls his window down, and he's still on the phone. So disrespectful, caught speeding, and just, why I didn't know this. Then you find out their plates have expired. Their license has expired. Now it is criminal. You know, he can arrest them, and he has a number of them, put handcuffs on, put them in the back of his car. And his car is an unmarked car, which I kind of like that idea. When I drive down 96, if you're not doing 75, you're going to die. And there are times you have to get up to 80 because those people are crazy out there, even in construction zones. It is amazing when you've got to go down to one lane, you just use the zipper effect, do you not? You let people in. There are some people that just won't let people in, and then they do stupid stuff around heavy equipment like a big rig. It just doesn't make sense. And our society has come that way. And all that is flesh. I'm more important. Of course, our leaders, like some of the Democratic leaders that call for blood on the streets, then they wonder why there's blood on the streets. Why our president is shot at. I don't care what president it is. President Obama, President Trump, President Clinton. I don't care. You know, when President Reagan was shot, my word, do y'all remember that day? Yeah. If you're old enough to remember that. Yeah. That was a scary day. And then President Trump being shot. And they praise that kind of stuff. That's carnality. In the first, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Read verse 2. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. If you call Jesus accursed, there's no way you're saved. No way. But how many people say that he's accursed? The Muslim religion does. The Mormon religion does. And many of the other religions, the cults across the world, that's what they are. Of course, they see us as a cult too because we follow the Lord Jesus. But I have witnessed to a few Jews the last couple years, and one in particular kept telling me, I said, well, I looked at him finally, and I said, I want you to know I worship a Jew, and Jesus Christ is his name. Well, that got him. That got him. And he never asked any more questions after that. But I have seen Jews ask, well, why is Jesus so important to you? I said, well, why is Moses so important to you? Because they see him as the main problem. Well, he did this, he did that, blah, blah, blah. But But whose power did he use? And who did it for him? Who caused the water? And I'll go back to it. Let's go to Mara a minute. Oh, yeah, I know Mara. That was a few days after they had crossed the Red Sea. Yeah. What did God tell Moses to do? Well, he told him to throw the tree in the water and it would become good because it was bitter. I said, so who did the work there? Well, Moses took the tree and threw it in there. But who told him to? It was the act of obedience by Moses and God's miraculous working that made that water drinkable for not only the animals, but for the people. So when they say that Jesus is accursed, and that's what they're doing, he's not the Savior. That's the same thing as saying that Jesus Christ is accursed. And I've told you many, many times, be careful. He's not just Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Christ Jesus the Lord. He is Jesus Christ. That's who he is. And it's not a swear word. And it's not an I don't care phrase. He's a person. He is God and he is the Savior. To say otherwise is being accursed. Well, you know, this Jesus, I've heard some of the podcast people, Joe Rogan, for example. Yeah, we know that, and he was interviewing Trump. And he says, yeah, we know Jesus was alive. And Trump said this. He said, there's no other human being on earth that has the evidence of having been on this earth like the Lord Jesus Christ. And those were Trump's, his whole idea was to understand there's more evidence for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth than there is you. You have a birth certificate and you have a home you live in, but historians can say, nope, Karis Ashton didn't exist. But we know she did. So with that, that's the idea of accursed. And that, look at the middle of the verse, and that no man can say that Jesus is, now watch this, the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. This idea of Jesus is Lord is not a righteous biblical term. If I say Jesus is Lord, now let me say this, Jesus is the Lord, the one and only. Does that not make a difference? And this is something that we need to be cautious of when we get around to other people that want to name the name of Jesus or they want to say he is Lord. Well, is he the Lord? And my next question is, and I'm not getting into lordship salvation, I'll explain that in a moment, but Jesus is the Lord. Lordship salvation says this, and it's heresy. But they will say until Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, you are not saved. That's hogwash. That's garbage. That's a lie. The minute he saves you and baptizes you into the family of God by the Holy Spirit of God, you now become a child of God. Did you know everything that day that you know today about him? Absolutely not. You do learn how to love him more. You learn how to obey him more. You learn how to follow him more. You learn how to serve more. You learn how to witness more, how to work more. That comes over time. I pray that when the Lord Jesus saved me, I'll never forget that day. Because that was the day I was dedicated to him. Do we not baby dedications and things? And I tell you what, I think the best thing to do, if you really want to help your child, before conception, at conception, and after conception, you best be praying for them. Young marriages and young families and something, if I do a wedding again, any children born out of this will follow the Lord Jesus. You know, that's a must. But that's on the parent too. Because now the parents got to have those children. And God help anybody that doesn't have their child. That's that millstone idea. You do realize that a parent that doesn't take a child to church, it would be better if a millstone were hanged about their neck. If their influence, then the influence of older Christians on younger Christians, if you don't influence them to love God and to serve God, listen, that carnality, that flesh is worthy of a millstone being tied around their neck and thrown out into the sea. We don't realize our influence. And I'm constantly reminded, especially when I get tired, and humanity just aggravates me. My own humanity aggravates me and your humanity aggravates me. Because I don't think we understand the importance of our influence. There's times when you get discouraged, you get tired, you know, is anything really happening? God sends along. And Brother Mike and I one day, Brother Mike Carson and I were talking, and he was down in the dumps. I was down in the dumps. So we just started talking about the things God's done that we've seen him do. And things started picking up. We started talking about some singing groups that we knew down home, Sound Doctrine out of Pensacola. I think they're out of Pensacola. Anyway, tremendous songs and whatnot. McCamey's another one. Inspirations. I mean, some of the music that we heard in the camp meetings down south, and what a blessing they were. You start talking about what God's, hey, Brother Mike, let me tell you about going to Robertsdale, Alabama. Hey, let me tell you about going to Dothan, Alabama, and what happened there, and this happened there. And you start looking at all the things that God's done in the past with you. You and I can never say or ask the question, is God using us? It's carnality. But also carnality is saying that Jesus is accursed. Now, spiritually, in verse number 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his number one job. John chapter 16. But then the second half of that verse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit that lives within you that gives that witness that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is. And that's only given to the individual that has been saved by the Lord Jesus. Now that's where I want us to be cautious. Because if a man or woman names the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they know He's the Savior, the Bible says believe on Him, correct? Is that individual saved? I pray so. Now, I will say this, that sometimes the fruit doesn't bear it, but is your fruit always good? This is where we ought to be very cautious as to who he is saved and who is not saved. Now, Paul mentions, like in Galatians, for example, when you add the law or works of the flesh, then you've made the blood of none effect. You've made the gospel of none effect. The power is gone. But when you say the Lord Jesus Christ is the risen Savior, only the Holy Spirit can tell you that, and then you're going to witness it. You're going to work it out of you and give it to others, and you're going to show it to others. The point here is only the individual that says the Lord Jesus Christ is the risen Savior, the Lord of Lords, the Holy Spirit had to give you that. Your flesh would have never said that. In the first 11 chapters, Paul is having to do that. The Scripture is teaching about gifts from the Holy Spirit rather than gifts from the flesh. What kind of gifts does the flesh give? None of them are righteous. No, not one. Our righteousnesses are a filthy rags. You say, Pastor, I thought this is supposed to be encouraging. If you're allowing God to work through you, then it is encouraging. It's encouraging to know what is wrong. And it's an even greater encouragement to know how to get it right. And then let me take it one more step. Not only is it to know what is wrong and how to get it right, but then how do I keep it right? Then you've got a home run. Then you've got a touchdown. Then you've got life and life more abundant. Now, we must teach, and that's what Paul begins to do, to be spiritual rather than fleshly. That's why fasting's so hard. Because your body's saying, oh, I got to have food. I got to have food. I got to have food. I know that down south, Brother Chester Demps and his church would fast one day a week. Now, they would do a wet fast. In other words, they would have the waters and they would have the juices, especially anybody that's got health trouble. You've got to have electrolytes. And don't go on a fast unless God tells you to. But it's good because it brings the body under subjection. Those in the keto carnivore community will tell you if you've had a bad meal, then take the next 16 to 24 hours and fast. Your body will get rid of it. It'll take care of it. A lot of them use the intermittent fasting and don't realize it's for health, but they don't realize it. But boy, it'll bring you around, your mindset around to a worshipful mindset. Now, in this, the spirit of the Antichrist teaches us these things. So, in the first 11 chapters, Paul's having to deal with the carnality of the Corinthian. In Corinth, there was the major temple, and it's still, the ruins are there for Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Now, can you imagine, if you know what's going on to today, Can you imagine what was going on to then? Now, there are some interesting things I have been reading about with Aphrodite and how they worshiped. One of the things that would happen is the women would shave their heads. Well, it's against the covering of Scripture. You understand what I mean by that? You know, that's why it's wicked for a man to have long hair. The Bible's clear that the angels don't know the difference. Are they watching us? Absolutely. There's a great cloud of witnesses watching us at all times. But in that Aphrodite worship, there was a lot of other things going on, and I don't want to go into detail, but the spirit of Antichrist teaches us about the works of the flesh. That's what the world's saying. And they teach it as being a preferred way of life. I was at Meyer yesterday. I had to ask the Lord's forgiveness. I've seen this couple, and Jamie, I don't know if you saw them. Two women, two girls, probably 18, 20, 22-ish, holding hands, walking through there. They're like they're married and lovers and all this other business. And I said, Lord, forgive me for hating on them. I hate it. I hate it. Personally, I hate it. Lord Jesus, would you show them yourself that they might be saved? Yeah. Amen. The spirit of Antichrist is very thick in America. That's why we're seeing the terror. And let me say this to you without getting too crazy. There are things going to happen in the near future that we thought we'd never see in the United States of America. Especially with Iran. Now, I've spoke to some Iranians that have left Iran because of the torturing. They beheaded people in this ceasefire. The Iranians are not to be trusted or believed. And that's why President Trump has been doing what he's been doing. And I thank him for it. But I'm going to tell you now, in 20 years, when he's not around or we don't have a strong leader, even in 4 years. Because that's their plan. They'll wait us out. They've been over there for thousands of years as a nation. They'll just wait it out till the right moment. And that's the devil working in the flesh. See, this is why Antichrist and the fleshly lusts, this is why it's important, Christian, is to not live by that. Because if that's the preferred way of life, then we got a problem. Now, in that Antichrist and preferred way of life, this carnality that Paul has to deal with in the first 11 chapters, the world will teach sex education rather than abstinence. They will teach, well, this is this and this is... I didn't need sex education. I lived on a... We worked on a farm and we had dogs and we had chickens and you have cats. You don't have to have that. And a good parent knows when to talk to them about it. Well, I want my kids to be... There is no such thing as innocent children in the day we live. The things that the Muslim will do to a woman physically, and then if she continues to be what they call rebellious, they'll behead her. That's happening. That's happening in Dearborn, Michigan, Houston, Texas, many other places. Get your head out of the sand, Christian. Because that's what's happening. And by placing your head in the sand doesn't make it disappear. The world system, this Antichrist, this one that would say that Jesus is accursed, they say, drinking alcohol responsibly. Gamble responsibly. Have safe sex. There's a lot of other things that the world will teach that have... That's the opposite of what God's Word teaches. Oh, here's another one, and this is going to hit us all. Y'all ready? Eat whatever you want. That happens. And I've had a bad habit since all my back issues. I got to get away. Big Deborah is making me Big David again. Now, thankfully, I've lost some weight, and I'm going to lose even more. But... Eat whatever you want. See here, Christian. Oh, yeah, that's right, preacher. Immorality. Let's preach against it. Let's shake that bush. Let's get all upset. Right? And then, oh yes, drinking alcohol is wicked. And we even have prohibition in the early 1900s. Yeah, you get on them about their drink. Well, Christian, you might want to get on yourself about your nutrition. We don't do that, do we? The only reason why I don't preach against coffee is because I like it. Many people that don't drink coffee call it Christian alcohol. And that's, you know what? That is the truth. There are some people I know, I won't name any names in the room today, that they need an IV of coffee. I would never mention that Brother Ray loves coffee that much. I had a news story, but I'm not going to tell it because I like coffee. Not as much as that, but I like my coffee. Hey, beloved, eat whatever you want. That's what the world thinks. Hey, the world says if it feels good, do it. That's the world's philosophy. That's the flesh. That's our carnality. We need these spiritual gifts. We need these spiritual gifts in order to serve God righteously. In order to, hey, to be useful in the church. So many Christians across America in churches, and we had a few here. We had a bunch here. When I first come here, they were useless as Christians. And we become useless when we don't use the gifts that God gives us. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to work. We live our lives by the carnality of the flesh, by the world's philosophy, and by this Antichrist spirit. And that's what it is. It's an Antichrist spirit. And there's a lot of them out there. A lot of that going on. Now, one other thing. And you've noticed this with hair color being crazy and dress. Dress however you want, or dress to just be yourself. Isn't that what they teach? There's some people that are wearing some clothing that I'm thinking, oh my word, or no clothing at all. These tight yoga pants. I wear, so if it's cold, because I'm not a Michigander, ladies, you'll wear leggings, and I appreciate that. Keep yourself warm. I don't want you sick. A lot of our ladies will wear that under their dresses. Or you'll wear slacks, and I have no problem with that. You know what I thank God for? In the 19 years of being here, our ladies have always dressed appropriately, except for Brother Ray and his Michigan tie that I gave him. I added to his sin. Lord, please forgive me. No. But that's, dress is just as important. These yoga pants, these girls, do they not realize how that curves around them? The world says dress however way you want. Be yourself. Oh my word. They don't realize it, but they influence, like Luke 16, and they influence in such a way it would be better if they had a millstone tied around their neck and cast into a sea. Why? Because they're influencing others. Dennis Rodman influenced others. All this tattooing and ear piercings and hair colors and gauges and all that. That's the world's philosophy. You say, well, how do you handle that? You love the individual. You look them square in the eyes and tell them Jesus saves. The Lord Jesus Christ saves. That's what you do to them. And if they are saved, God loves you. I love you. Because that's all we can do. Listen, you got to leave judgment, condemnation, wrath. You got to leave vengeance up to God. All you and I's job is to live the gospel and give the gospel. To show them the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first part of 1 Corinthians teaches us of the carnality of human nature. Now, because I've said so much to introduce it, I'm going to try to get through this. Hold your place there and come to chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1. I'll try to kind of rush through this, because I want to say some things you already know. And I want to reiterate them. I want to repeat them. Repetition aids in learning. Chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. Now there's a big problem with that, with the flesh. Because the flesh says, no, I want to choose my leader. Then the flesh says, no, I'm gonna do as I want. The flesh says, forget you, God. That's what your flesh and my flesh says to God. So how do we battle that? With the Word of God. Praying. Being in the church house. The importance of the church house. All those years of being at Horace Baptist Church, and then as Jamie and I have been in different places, you know what? We don't see the value of godly people as our authority in leadership. We don't see the value definitely of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide, to be that one called alongside of, to be our comfort, to be our everything, everything. So we're going to follow after the world system that we just mentioned in chapter 12, or are we going to benefit from what the Holy Spirit... There's only blessings and benefits through doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm reminding you of who we really are. You look into your life and you think about in your life right now, what displeases God? I think about my children, my grandchildren. I think about church members. I think about Christian folks that I have met. And David has to be careful he's not mad at him. But then I got to go look into the Word of God, the mirror of the Word, and get my reflection. And God says, work here first before you work anywhere else. But as a pastor, to be able to show you a road and then to walk it and for you to follow. Paul says, here I am. Follow me. Don't follow the priest of Aphrodite and the priestesses. And to tell you the truth, that's what most of our politicians... I'm telling you, 99% of our politicians are nothing but priests and priestesses of Satan. There are many of the singers, the R&B or rock and roll or any of that. There are many of them that are following after the devil himself. Lady Gaga, Beyonce, some of the bigger names. But then there's a lot of the lower names. And all they're doing is they're being an influence on others to follow after the devil rather than after God. It were better that a millstone be tied around their neck and cast into the sea than to influence one of these little ones. Well, 1 Corinthians 11, he says basically four things and I'm done. We must be spiritual. I have to confess, and Miss Jamie, you can amen this, but I'm the least spiritual person on earth. I am not perfect. I get aggravated at this and aggravated at that. I'll send a text to Miss Rachel, and it'll say what she asked me a question, and then she has to automatically send a thumbs up. And I'll get, oh, can't she just understand? But that's her way of communicating. Because if she ain't talking, she's texting. Yeah, she'll send a heart or something like that. It's like, it's a given, Brother Scott. I already know you love me. I already know you got... No, I'm just kidding. But no, in society, I know you all are more spiritual than I am. Yesterday, I saw something that just irritated me to no end. We're not supposed to take the golf carts across. I was there just a couple hours and... Not supposed to take the golf course across a highway, two-lane highway at 55 miles an hour unless you work for them. And there's only a couple of us that have been given that ability. And we put a Rangers flag up there that's red and everybody can see it. And yesterday, the very one who hollers about it the most, Gary, drove over there into the driving range with no flag on. What did he just tell everybody? It's okay to break the law. I had one gentleman who's new, who's become a good friend now. And he had his card over. It's been a couple months ago. I just walked up to him, black gentleman. So automatically I'm thinking, well, what am I going to have to deal with racism now? But the rule is don't take it across. And I walked up to him, hey, buddy, man, I saw your swing. That's looking pretty good right now. How's you playing? He says, oh, yeah, I'm at about plus five right now. I said, man, that's great. Hey, brother, don't bring the cart across. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to. I said, well, sir, there's signs up everywhere. And when I mean there's signs up everywhere, there are signs up everywhere. Shazam. Imagine that. He said, man, that's great. So I seen him yesterday. He walked up, shook my hand, said, how's it going? How's the back? You know, we're good friends. He said, oh, I want you to know I've not taken a cart across there. I said, praise the Lord, man. And he's become a good friend of Jeff, our superintendent. And so, you know, handling it right. But we must be spiritual. If you're not spiritual, you'll have no spiritual discernment. Right? Now, the second thing, we must be taught by the Holy Spirit. Now, are these things that you've heard before? We need to have that repeated to us every day. He does it all the time. That's why I've constantly told you, all you need is the King James Bible, an empty notebook, and a fresh pen or pencil. I've had some men say, well, Brother Garver, are you a book burner then? I said, no, I just don't go to those books. There's a couple writers that I love to read after. J. Vernon McGee is one of them, Through the Bible. I just have always appreciated him. I used to listen to the Through the Bible on I've told you, of a nighttime. Mom and Dad would let me listen to it and whatnot from 10 to 10:30 out of West Terre Haute. And I don't know if it's still there or not, but to listen to it. And there's some other good men. Brother Mike Carson's books have been a blessing. Brother Tab, I've got all of his books and the thoughts in there. I don't trust many sources, but I don't let those sources affect what is preached. Now, they may have a better idea, and I might go with an illustration or something, but the Word of God does all of it with the Holy Spirit's help. It helps me be spiritual. Well, then, thirdly, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's where every one of us have a hard time. Because we all have a problem with authority. We all have a horrible time with our bosses at times. We all have a horrible time with somebody telling us no. I can't believe somebody, you just told me no? Miss Jamie does it all the time. You can't do that. Well, what do we normally do? I know y'all are perfect. You're more spiritual than I am. If somebody says I can't do something, guess what I'm doing next? David, don't get in a cookie jar. Guess who's in a cookie jar next? Beloved, not only must be spiritual and be taught, but now we got to be led. Lord, I don't want to go there. No, Lord, I don't want to do that. No, Lord, I just can't walk over there and hand them a track. No, Lord, I don't want to go over them and tell them about you. And that's what happens. We are then not led by the Holy Spirit. The world will lead you into sin every time. The world will lead you into destruction every time. The world will always lead you in the wrong direction every time. And your flesh absolutely 10 million times loves it. Because this is against God. So how do you get that right? Lord, forgive me, and would you lead me? The last thing I want to go, and we find that in Scripture, is we must grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all the times of mercy and grace you showed your kids? Well, the Lord Jesus is even better at it. I'm thankful for that. He doesn't sit in heaven with a ball bat ready to beat us over the head. So this morning, as we look at this, begin this looking at the gifts of God, don't let the world be your guidance. The spirit of Antichrist is not for the believer. So let the Holy Spirit lead you. Father, thank you for what you do in us and not leaving us to death and destruction, but giving us life and to give us joy abundantly. I love you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I went a little over, forgive me. That's just good stuff.